Hi there, listeners. It's Farnoosh, and I just want to say I'm really honored that you've chosen to subscribe to So Money. I know there are a lot of podcasts out there. The fact that you're here is not lost on me. Now, if you're enjoying these episodes and you're benefiting from the advice and you want more, I've actually created something really special for us. It's called the So Money Members Club. It's an online platform where you can connect more closely with me and engage with fellow So Money fans who want to become more empowered in their financial lives. The website is SoMoneyMembers.com. And when you go there, you'll learn all the benefits, including exclusive monthly finance workshops, private group calls with me. You get your questions answered in our member community. I'm often in there weighing in, and you get instant access to all of our workshop recordings. We have a robust library that's growing. So far, we've had workshops on investing in real estate, kids and money, and how to earn more in 2024. And most of all, it's fun, positive, encouraging, all the things personal finance should be. Go to SoMoneyMembers.com, and I hope you'll join us. I'm limiting enrollment, and doors will close soon. Check out SoMoneyMembers.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money episode 1624, Revolutionizing Banking for Women with Varinda Gupta, founder of Sequin.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
Women have the largest spending power of any demographic ever, right? We control GDP. One of the reasons that I felt I couldn't make the change that I wanted to make within the financial services industry was I felt there needed to be a fundamental redesign of how exactly these products are being built. Mm-hmm. Because there are initiatives out there that are coming from legacy financial institutions that, you know, I think are good, right? And it's evangelizing that there is a problem, but a lot of those initiatives are a bit surface level.
Welcome to So Money, everybody. I'm Farnoosh Torabi. Happy Monday. If you haven't been listening to recent episodes, you may not have heard that I have opened up a very special opportunity for the So Money community. It's called the So Money Members Club. It's been amazing seeing many of you join over the weekend. So Money Members Club. You can check it out at SoMoneyMembers.com. I've got the link in our show notes. Essentially, it's a monthly membership where you can connect with me and all of our friends here in the So Money community. I host live and recorded monthly workshops around important financial topics like real estate, negotiating, investing. We've got a community group where we can continue the conversation. I've got monthly office hours where you can drop in and ask me your money questions. It's a whole shebang. You can go to SoMoneyMembers.com to learn more about it and hopefully sign up and let me know if you have any questions. Our guest today is going to take us behind the scenes of how the financial services industry doesn't always accommodate for women consumers and women bankers. Varinda Gupta is the CEO and co-founder of Sequin, a women's financial guidance and high interest banking membership club, speaking of clubs, designed by women for women. Verinda is a globally recognized credit expert. She helped launch, in fact, the popular Chase Sapphire Reserve card, and she has her MBA from Berkeley. Funny story about that Chase Sapphire Reserve card, which she'll get into, is that she helped invent it, and then she was rejected from the credit card that she helped build. So just to give you a preview of some of the things she's going to be talking about how the financial services industry sort of falls short sometimes of giving women, and in particular immigrant women like Verinda, access to financial literacy and access to good financial products. And stay tuned for Verinda's big tip on how to boost your credit score very quickly. It's actually two tips. Here's Verinda Gupta. Verinda Gupta, welcome to So Money. I'm so excited to have you on the show, especially because I don't think that you could have been on this show years ago working at Visa. You wouldn't be able to tell me the things you're about to tell me and our audience when you're working inside the world of finance and financial institutions. But now you are a free woman and you have things to tell us that we need to know, especially women in the audience, about how the banking system works. I really appreciate you coming on and being so brave to tell us. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. And I am really excited to pull the veil off a little bit and hopefully empower us all and, you know, what we need to know when we're interacting with financial services, which is pretty much every single day.
Every single day. You come from Visa. And at Visa, you helped to build some products that I and probably others are familiar with or use, including the very popular Chase Sapphire Reserve, one of the more popular credit cards. First of all, amazing that you did that. But that experience also led you to launch your own initiative, leaving Visa to start Sequin, which is a fintech empowering women to step into financial freedom. But I want you to take us back to Visa and your experiences working within financial services and what you learned about the system and the methodologies there that didn't always work in favor of women. And even yourself, you applied for the Chase Sapphire Reserve that you invented, and I understand we're not qualified. So I want to learn, you know, let's unveil, pull back the curtain. Let's unveil some of these thoughts that we've probably all had as consumers, but that you can confirm for us.
So yeah, thank you so much for asking that question. And I'm so excited to demystify this entire world of finances. And I actually want to start a little bit farther back because it'll kind of put context around what was interesting for me at Visa and why, you know, what we're doing with Sequin is so important to me today. So I and my family immigrated from India when I was really young. And as immigrants, I watched my parents navigate the financial system in the US and feel very afraid of all of the gotchas. And I kind of noticed that my mother in particular was very afraid of making financial decisions or engaging with financial products in the US because one, she didn't understand how exactly they worked, but two, there are some pretty serious gotchas on the other side, right? You make a wrong decision, especially as an immigrant where you don't have wealth accumulated, that's serious, right? Yeah. And just watching that dynamic between my mom and my dad was really eye-opening because it made me associate money with power. And my dad was not necessarily trying to make decisions on behalf of my mom, but because she didn't understand how the system worked and didn't feel confident, that's kind of what ended up happening. And as a result, both of my parents said, it is so important for you as a person, but also as an immigrant, as a woman, to really understand this world because that's how you start to build generational wealth, right? That's the dream. That's the American dream. And so when I went to get my first job out of college, that's why I was really interested in joining Visa because I wanted to empower myself financially. And then I could empower my mom and I could empower the women around me. And this really was me signing that offer letter was that moment of me saying this generational money trauma, especially as it relates to the women in my family, that's going to end with me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Flash forward a few years later, I'm at Visa. I'm a product manager and I'm working with my team to launch popular credit cards. So every single Visa card that was launched between the years that I was there went through me. And I was so excited to help create the Chase Sapphire Reserve, which is a more premium credit card, looked at travel rewards, had airline lounge access. And it was really aspirational. And I felt so excited to be a part of it. And I remember this big day where I was sitting at my desk at Visa doing the application on the Chase website, and I got rejected from the credit card that I helped create.
Why? Why do you think that? Was it your credit score? Was it a glitch?
I mean, my mind raced to all sorts of things, right? I think the first piece was, I'm an imposter. I never belonged here in the first place, which is something I've spent many years unlearning. But very quickly, I came to my senses, right? I said, wait, I know exactly how these products work. I'm building these. So there must be something deeper here. And the piece that was very unsettling for me was when I got rejected, I did not know why. And legally, you have to get a letter in the mail a few weeks later. There's five potential decline reasons, none of which are actionable, right? And I actually went to my manager at the time and I told him what happened kind of sheepishly. And he said, okay, let's look at your credit, you know, what's going on. And what I realized was that I did not have a credit card under my own name. My dad had made me a secondary user, which, by the way, is twice as common for women to be a secondary user on a parent or a partner's credit. And I was not building credit under my own name. And because of that, yes, I was credit visible, but not at the point where it was actually showing me and my credit profile. And that's why I got rejected. And it felt like this very important test that I had never been taught how to study for. Seemed like some people knew about it. I didn't. And that was kind of my journey into understanding how this financial world was built. And I realized that it wasn't a fault of mine that I didn't know this. Where was I supposed to learn, right? I'm not taught in school. None of us are. A lot of the stats that I uncovered as I went on this kind of obsessive wormhole of what is going on, when I realized it was not me, it opened my eyes to, okay, what, who was the system designed for? How was it designed? And I think this is probably no surprise to anyone, but I learned that women and minorities could actively be rejected from bank accounts, from credit cards, from business loans up until the 1970s.
Right.
That is not ancient history. I did not know that. And what that also meant was every single financial services entity, product, tool that was designed before the 70s, which is pretty much all of them, right? Those were designed to actively leave women out of the narrative.
Right.
And that to me, obviously, you know, that was in the past, but I think we all know that if you write something into law that, okay, that's illegal now, that doesn't mean that the problem's solved, right? It's just that, okay, legally, you can't do that anymore. And I started to become really obsessed with, okay, what are the implications today? Because when I started doing this exploration, I started talking to my friends. I, at that point, you know, had many friends who had worked at Visa for a long time. I had friends who were MBAs. I had extremely educated women and aspirational women in my life. And I would talk to them and say, you know, do you feel confident in your finances? Do you feel like you know what's going on? Do you feel like the guys know a little bit more than us? And I kept on hearing these stories about financial anxiety, a lack of financial confidence, and but these women were not confident. And it just felt like there was something more deep. And so essentially what I learned was, even today, at all parts of our financial journey, women are making avoidable mistakes. And it starts really early. It's no fault of our own. So the first thing that I learned was, little girls are half as likely to receive a lesson on credit and finances by the time we reach high school as compared to boys. Also, what I learned was, after we graduate, we are not being marketed to in the same ways that men are. So banks are marketing more to men than they are to women. I also saw some really real discrepancies in terms of how women are engaging with financial tools, where women are paying 18% more in avoidable banking fees every year, which leads to hundreds of dollars. And that's overdraft fees, late fees, penalties. When it comes to credit, we are more creditworthy and more likely to pay back, but our credit scores are lower because of the gender wage gap. I learned, of course, about gaps in terms of retirement and building wealth and just those gaps in terms of actually growing our money. And it just led me to realize that, of course, you know, financial education, there's a lack there, but also the tools themselves are not really taking into account that there are very real differences in women's lives that we need to account for, and that the tools themselves are not working that great for us. So that's the point at which I took a step back and I said, okay, something needs to change.
Yeah, clearly a huge underserved market. And yet all the data, you know it more than anybody, that women are the number one consumers. We are leading our households, more breadwinners than ever before. Women are the number one buyers of real estate when they're before they get married. How much more data do we need to suggest, to prove to companies and product pushers that like your target audience needs to be women, and not only as sellers, but you know, to empower women is to everybody wins. When exactly. Women are more educated and have more money and more resources, I mean, we are the ones who are at the forefront of our households. That's not a little thing. And I'm curious, were there conversations like this happening behind the scenes at your previous employer? And if there were, how did they go? Like, why is there such a cultural resistance to empowering and educating women around money?
You know, I think what's really interesting around that is when we think about designing for women, it's not a new concept necessarily. And one of the pieces that was really inspirational for me was exactly what you're saying, Farnoosh, is women have the largest spending power of any demographic ever, right? We control GDP, women financial services, $95 billion opportunity by McKinsey, by Oliver Wyman, right? These are known entities. And so to your point, it's how much more data do we need? I think the challenge and one of the reasons that I felt I couldn't make the change that I wanted to make within the financial services industry was I felt there needed to be a fundamental redesign of how exactly these products are being built. Mm-hmm. Because there are initiatives out there that are coming from legacy financial institutions that, you know, I think are good, right? And it's evangelizing that there is a problem, but a lot of those initiatives are a bit surface level, right? It's okay, let's, you know, say that there's a different color on something, right? You know, or we can say, here's a bit of education, but fundamentally the tool is not actually changing. It's just, okay, maybe we're making you aware a little bit more. So I think what the industry perceives is perhaps a marketing problem, which is a part of it. But the real fundamental insight is that the products and services themselves are not really designed to take into account the factors that affect women. So there, of course, is a huge opportunity, but I don't think the way that this problem gets solved from marketing initiatives. Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy. You want a bra that's comfortable. You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or problem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code PODCAST15. The weather's getting warmer as I record. It's a nice 73 degrees on the East Coast. So, finally, time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and, fingers crossed, hello to shorts and tees. And I need to update my wardrobe for the long haul. And, you know, I don't want to spend a fortune. So luckily, I found Quince. I'm honest. I've got a lineup of timeless pieces from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and tons more. Best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I have t-shirts from Quince, pajamas from Quince. My very chic and fashionable sister-in-law, Hannah, her whole closet is Quince. And people often stop us and ask, where did you get this? Don't tell me the price. And then when I do, they're shopping on Quince.com. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to Quince.com/somoney for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince.com/somoney to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/somoney. So what I'm hearing is that a lot of the legacy institutions think that repackaging different colors, different words, maybe showing up in different places to find their women customers, their female customers is the solution. But tell us what you've actually learned is the game changer and can really help women when it comes to empowering them around their money. And maybe this we can get into Sequin, because this is where you're showing up for your women customers and doing things differently.
Absolutely. Yeah, I really love this question. And this is what I spend all my time thinking about. So in the spirit of designing truly with women in mind, the way that we've built Sequin and my team and I has always been by talking to women, putting our products in front of them and saying, is this meeting your needs? What are your needs? And really reinforcing how we're building around women's needs and women's goals and women's lifestyles. And one of the core insights that I've gleaned is the gap in the market today is that there is a lot of education out there, right? We have amazing financial influencers who I think are awesome. There's a lot of content, Google University, right? There's so much out there. But the challenge with that is it's sometimes hard to make that actionable. And we know that adult learning happens by doing, right? So we can know, okay, I need an emergency fund. I need to pay off my debt. I need to be investing. But okay, how do you actually do that? And how does that become relevant to you and your lifestyle? And maybe if you have a lot of credit card debt, you aren't ready to invest just yet. Your goal really should be paying off that credit card debt. But that priority order and the specifics on how to make that actionable sometimes are lacking out there. And on the other side of things, I'm seeing all of these banking products with legacy, you know, your traditional financial institutions, and they're good at keeping your money safe mostly, right? And they are not necessarily incentive aligned with you, where they're not saying, we make money when something good happens to you, right? If you think about how your bank is making money, it's when you make a mistake, right? You pay a fee that goes in their pocket. You don't invest your money or you don't grow your money with them. They pocket the spread on the interest that they're lending out. So when you make a mistake, your bank makes money. And they're not really helping you take the action specifically towards your goals. And they're also not really teaching you, you know, you get a credit card, right? And with great power comes great responsibility, but so many of us are struggling with credit card debt. So many of us aren't building credit effectively, myself included, right? That was the genesis of this company. And so they're not really teaching you how to use the tools and how those tools are really aligned with your goals, and the tools fundamentally are really not incentive aligned with you.
And so I feel like everyone would benefit from this kind of incentive structure, not just women. I mean, down the road, do you see just a total revamp, a rehaul of so many of the systems and the ways that we are providing financial services to consumers at large?
That's the bet that I'm taking on Sequin, right? That's the world that I would like to see happen in my lifetime. And that's why I and my team work on this every day, right? Where there is a business case of you can do well by doing good, and you can align incentives in a way that if your customer makes more money and is finding value in your product, then you also make more money as well. I think up until now, I mean, the banking system, financial services is the number one industry, right? And banks made $13 billion a year on average on overdraft fees. And so when there's those kind of opportunities of, okay, you are making money in that way, then what actually is the incentive to even change that? And so I think a lot of it is the power of the consumer, right? Of being able to say, where do I want to keep my money? And do I want to keep on giving my money to these kind of institutions? Or are there better options that are actually working in my interest and work for me as well? So I hope that in the future, every single institution has this business model. But for now, I think that's a huge opportunity for us to kind of pioneer that.
There's a lot of opportunity, I think, for innovation within the banking space. I did an article a year and a half ago or so on, you know, these smaller neobanks that are promising different, for example, ways of taking your deposits and then investing that, like their portfolio of investments. Every bank has, this is what banks do. They take your deposits, they invest that money in their projects that have a high ROI. That's how they can then offer you some interest. They're making interest on, you know, more interest with other projects. But some of those projects include fossil fuel-based projects, oil and, you know, weapons and supporting, you know, certain regimes even that maybe you're not aligned with philosophically. And, you know, then so there's this crop of banks, for example, that are like, we're just investing our consumer dollars in our deposits in green energy. And I'm just wondering, like, there's a lot of resistance to innovation. And have you come across bullies? I'll just say it, you know, like in the financial services industry that are like, they don't want you to succeed because your success is not a good look for them. And a lot of those banks that I just talked about, the ones that were like the neobanks, have gone away. And behind the scenes, it's because they're fighting a war. And I just want to know, like, what's happening behind the scenes? And I know you've gotten a lot of support, Y Combinator, tons of press, but from your peers within the industry or your former peers, what's their take?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, to be fair, my colleagues at Visa have been so supportive, and actually we offer a Visa debit card with high interest. So we're partnered with Visa. Visa's extremely supportive. But what I will call out is how challenging it is to innovate in this industry. And even the fact that we have our high interest checking and our Visa debit card out there on the market is really challenging to get live. And a lot of that challenge is, one, it's very expensive, right? To work with a banking partner that is FDIC insured, that is an expensive endeavor. The second piece is you obviously have to be compliant. You have to make sure you're following all of the regulations. And that means that you're spending money and energy on that, which is, again, so important because you need to be in the best, you know, interest of your consumers. But it is, as an early stage startup, a lot of overhead. And the third piece is, as an early stage startup, it's hard to find these partners, right? And ultimately, they're looking at, okay, is this a huge opportunity? And are we there to grow with you? And so we've actually had a lot of churn with a variety of banking partners at the very beginning. Now we're live, everything's stable, everything's good, but it's been extremely challenging even to find the right partner that's aligning with this huge vision with us. Because as an early stage startup, of course, you're building up momentum, but you're not huge yet, right? And so that's another bet as well. But we, you know, work with regulators. Every single piece of our marketing collateral goes through a compliance audit. And so there's a lot of very challenging overhead, but even to get the partners, to get the products live is a huge deal. And that's why I feel really grateful for my time building financial products at Visa to be able to navigate that. But it is extremely, extremely challenging. And the more sinister side of me is, you know, what is the incentive to make it easy to launch these kind of products, right? When there are these big incumbents that have a lot of money to lose.
And just to recap some of the membership benefits at Sequin, which by the way, is your company and not just a bank where you go and you park your money. It's really, you're really positioning this as a community, a place to learn, a place to connect with other women. So there's a wealth program, there's community and guidance, and then there are, of course, banking and credit tools. What's next? I find that the best banks, the best banking bank partnerships or relationships are the ones where there is a place to sort of grow your wealth with them, you know, where you're going to go get the mortgage next and you're going to maybe start the business and open up a line of credit with the, at the bank, or you're going to eventually open up an investment portfolio. Do you see Sequin becoming this ecosystem, this financial ecosystem for women?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like, I need you in my investor pitches with me, Farnoosh. I do want to say I'm the spirit of legal and compliance. So Sequin is not a bank.
Right,
we are
right,
a fintech. We work with our banking partner. Yeah, which is FDIC insured. They are Thread Bank. I'm like reading
maybe
this disclosure
don't hire
in my
me
head. I'll just do the disclosure part of it. But yeah, Sequin is a fintech. We work with a banking partner to keep your deposits safe. They are FDIC insured. Shirt on deposit. But I would love to take a moment to talk about Sequin and then go into what you just mentioned, Farnoosh. So essentially, the way that we've designed Sequin is a banking and financial guidance membership club that's designed with women in mind. And that means that anyone is welcome to join, but really the needs are around women. Pretty much the same way that your traditional bank is built,
yeah.
Right? So it probably works better.
The opposite of your traditional bank is, yeah.
Exactly. The exact opposite in that it works better for, Sequin works better for women, but if you're someone else, you can definitely come in and identify a different way. And we have three key tenets that I think you said really well. So the first that we talk a lot about is our wealth program. And essentially, we'll offer you a pathway to financial freedom where we talk about money, we talk about credit, and we talk about building wealth. And we help you with your priorities in terms of, okay, if you don't have an emergency fund, that needs to happen first, right? But we also will help you calculate it. We'll help you grow it in Sequin, high interest checking, which I'll talk about in a bit. We'll also say, okay, you know, if you have credit, card debt, how do we get you to pay that off first? And then what happens next? Do you want a premium credit card? What is the right one for you? There's nothing sponsored in our programming. And so we're not hitting you with ads. We're not giving you sponsorships. Truly, we're just saying these are the best products that we think, you know, based off of your lifestyle and your stage, this is what you need. And I consider it kind of a cheat code to financial freedom, essentially, where it's like, these are kind of the main things that you need to do. And I want to make that accessible to everyone because, you know, people have financial planners, but usually you have multiple millions of dollars. You have kind of a unique situation. We wanted to make this wealth program really accessible and really actionable. So you'll get courses, worksheets, calculators, tools, et cetera, to help guide you through the stages of wealth building. So that's one piece. The second piece is our actual financial tools, which I love. And one of those, and I actually have my card here, is our Sequin High Interest Checking. We offer today 3.56% APY on checking. Those rates are subject to change, but for now, that's what we offer. And that is essentially not really on the market. It's like some of the best CDs out there in your checking account. So every single dollar is growing. You don't have to worry about it. We don't have overdrafts. We don't have penalties. We don't have any gotchas. When you're with Sequin, you are growing your money, and that is happening effortlessly, the same way as if you had it in a different kind of growth vehicle. We have competitive rates on your checking account, which is really neat. We also have credit tools that will help you pay off credit card debt, build towards an 800 plus credit score. We've had a lot of success there. And then the third piece is really our accountability and the community piece, where we all rarely get to where we want to be alone. And so we have workshops. We'll help you do mid-yearly annual check-ins on your goals, make sure you're on track. We'll go through each of the steps of our wealth program together every month, hype each other up. And so that really is our community membership offering. And you will, you know, pay a transparent fee upfront, and we do not charge you anything additional when you are a part of Sequin. So it's banking in a box, but also, you know, accountability, goal setting, wealth building, et cetera, all in one place. So that's what it is right now. We love it so, so much. And
it's how many years or months or how long has it been live?
Yeah. So we actually just launched this high interest checking and our membership product about 6 months. So it's very new, but our results are amazing. We've seen on average a 50% increase in just confidence and finances overall, but also on average a 20-point credit score increase in a week. We've given so much in interest back out. Our rates are 51 times the national average. So women are making a ton of money with Sequin, usually to pay back their membership fee and more. So yeah, it's been really awesome. And yeah, less than 6 months live.
Wait, so 20-point credit increase in a week, what are you teaching us that we need to know?
Yes, I love this question. And it's actually one of like a big hack that we've gone viral multiple times with.
Okay.
So this is my, I shout two things about credit from the rooftop. The first one is building credit in your own name. It is so important. Do not be building credit under someone else's name. That's not going to be as effective, and it leads to all sorts of
issues.
Sometimes
you have to, right? If you're an immigrant or if you're 16, 17, 18, and you want to establish credit because you're going to be on your own in college soon. I mean, it's a good kind of beginner, right, step. I always say, you know, getting a authorized usership on a parent credit card is a great, relatively safe way to build credit. But I get your point. It's not a long-term solution.
Yeah. And the second you turn 18, it really should be you're getting your own credit product.
Yeah.
And as an immigrant, we actually recommend secured cards as you just start building credit under your own name. And just the less you're, especially as a woman, the less you're attached to someone else, the less financial control, abuse of, you know, marriage ends, et cetera. I hear so many of those stories. So in general, unless you're a child, I guess, if you're an adult, you should be building credit in your own name. So that's one thing I shout. But the second one, and is actually this hack here, is we say to pay off your credit card on average once a week instead of once a month.
Ah.
And essentially what that does is it lowers your credit utilization, which is your percentage of your overall credit line that you're using. It's a number two factor in your credit score, and it's something that people don't really talk about. And actually at Sequin, one of the great membership perks that you have is you can connect your credit cards to Sequin. We'll send you credit utilization alerts. So if your utilization is too high, then we'll actually tell you to pay it off. A lot of folks say, well, I get that with my Credit Karma. The myth out there is that above 30% is the problem, but under 30%, you're fine. The secret that I want to share is that for excellent credit and for those in the 800 plus credit score club, on average, your credit utilization is at 7 or 8% at every single day of the month, because you don't know when the credit bureau's reporting or when your credit issuer is reporting to the credit bureau.
Yeah.
So keep that utilization below 10%. Of course, if you have credit card debt, that should be your priority. Pay that down. But if you don't have revolving credit card debt, do the weekly payment, or better yet, sign up for Sequin. We'll give you credit utilization alerts and you won't have to think about it at all.
Boom. I love that. I love a good takeaway. And you're right. The 30% is always like the general threshold. Stay below that for your debt to credit ratio. But right, the people with the best scores definitely have much smaller ratios. Vrinda Gupta, thank you so much. Really appreciate you. Wishing you all the success. And stay tuned, everybody. I'm going to mention an offer that Vrinda has for all of us so that we can get testing out Sequin if we'd like for a nice discount, 40% less.
Yes.
Which is very generous. Thank you so much, Vrinda. Happy New Year.
Thanks so much for having me. Happy New Year.
Thanks so much to Vrinda Gupta for joining us. Vrinda has a 40% off discount for anybody who wants to subscribe to Sequin's annual plan. Go to sequincard.com/so money. That's sequincard, one word, .com/so money. I'll see you back here on Wednesday, and I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.